There is a right that every child has. Every child has the right to be given boundaries. We're going to talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. This week, we're talking about privacy versus protection. And yesterday, we talked about why are parents scared of invading their children's privacy? What does it mean for them to have privacy? They lock you out of their rooms. They don't let you check out their text messages or Facebook pages. There's always a World War III going on in the house when that happens. And those aren't good signs.
Those aren't good signs. But I think that we've actually led our children to believe that it is their bedroom, that it is their mobile phone that they're using. And so why would I be surprised if we've led them to believe that? If my child were to say to me, is that my mobile phone you have in your hand? And I would say, no, it's my mobile phone that you get to use. Mm-hmm. We've got to get a mindset back that I have a responsibility with this child. Mm-hmm. How sad are the parents of those Columbine boys that didn't go in the bedroom, that didn't look at their things, that were told the bedroom was off limits? How sad is it when parents actually find out, why didn't I look? Why didn't I go after this? Why did I allow my child? Because we want to be their friend. We don't want to say no. We don't want the battle. We don't want the fight. But the final outcome is far worse.
Right.
All of a sudden, how did it get to this point? It is an issue of taking territory mm-hmm. back.
Do you think that all these little things, the sort of the emancipation of the child, helping the child find their identity, does it all tie into those younger years where they get to choose whether they want to eat their vegetables or not? And, you know, little stuff like that?
Well, I do think the amount of autonomy you allow, I need to let my child have some autonomy and make some decisions. The vegetables were easy. There's a dessert. You get the dessert if you eat the vegetables. Choose if you want dessert right now. I know that vegetables aren't going to hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. I know that vegetables aren't going to hurt. There are some things in life I know, mm-hmm. okay, you don't want to do that. I get it. Vegetables, no, we're there on that. My mom actually had every Thursday night, she made something we've never eaten. Thursday night was new food night. And she made a food.
That could be scary.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Well,
had to be a good cook.
She was a farmer. Basically, okay. Who moved to New York, you know, married my dad.
Awesome.
But a new food night. Some of them were gross. I'll never forget the night we ate brains. I will teach my boys how to eat anything there is.
Right.
And subsequently, I love food. I love mm-hmm. every kind of food. I'm the guy at college that, and everybody complained about college food. I would say, give me your food. I'll eat it. So it was great, but we always knew if you don't eat it, no, Bobby, it's no problem. There's just no dessert.
Okay.
So choose wisely.
See, I grew up, you have to have one or two bites of everything that's set on the table.
Good.
No option.
Good system.
And so I grew up that way. And I mean, it's benefited me having gone to foreign countries and eaten really weird food. But then even seeing kids grow up, by the time they're teenagers, I'm eating and they're so picky with things that I'm wondering, are you picky about everything else in your life too? I mean, do you not let people, how about watching a movie then with your future spouse and you don't like it? So what, you're going to walk away? You know, those are the little things where you become so independent, so private, so choosy that it's
so
your disadvantage.
So self-absorbed.
Right.
I don't like it. I don't eat it. Well, your mom's plan is the plan we use at Sheridan House and all the children's homes. You will take some of everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take some of everything, we will put some on your plate. And you really don't want us to put some if you don't want that. So take your little some or get your gargantuan some from us.
Choose, a bowl of
yes,
peas.
Here it is. Choose wisely. I think that it's dumbfounding, actually, that we're in a society today where the battle about the children's rights have reached such a propensity that we're no longer protecting the children. Take public schools, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
During the era when the lockers were off limits to the authorities, that's the child's locker. And you can't go into a locker unless you have a search warrant. Number one, it's not the child's locker. Number two, it's the taxpayer's locker. But number three, the principal is responsible for what's in that locker. And then we wonder why 110,000 guns are in America's public schools
wow.
every day.
Yeah.
No, the locker's not yours. But there's a parent that got all upset because somebody went in the locker and found some pot in the locker and that you found it illegally. No, we didn't find it illegally. It was on school property, but it was on his property.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done over a period of time is we've not really cared about the children. We've cared about these isolated incidents where we've gotten totally out of control. I'm not a proponent of this, although it worked for me. I grew up in a neighborhood in New York, an Italian neighborhood. Well, I don't even know all the people that spanked me in that neighborhood. When they would find me doing things I shouldn't be doing, and it was like a citizen child watch, and it was great. I mean, I just knew that Mrs. Sicati and Mrs. Benelli and all these, I knew they loved me.
You know their names,
oh,
too.
Oh, the one who spanked the most. Yes, I do. I deserved everything I got. But what happens is we want to be this child's friend, and we don't want to do these battles, and we feel paralyzed, absolutely paralyzed when we say we're going to check your Facebook
mm-hmm.
or we're going to check this.
Right.
And you don't have a Facebook unless I have the password. I promise you this. I will not post anything at all. Mm-hmm. I won't do that. But I need to know who you're talking to
mm-hmm.
and I need to know what's going on. So what we have to do is instead of what they want, we have to give them what they need. No child's going to say, I'd like some boundaries, please.
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody help me with boundaries? And, you know, saying to the kids at Sheridan House, come out of the bedroom. We're all here, guys. We're all here in the other room playing ping pong. We're hanging together, pulling us all together and helping them. But I think one of the other issues that's gotten huge in this me, me, mine, mine is there's another element to balance it that's missing, the element of teaching our children to be grateful for what they do have.
Mm.
By the way, honey, that is not your phone. That's my phone. And since we're talking about it right now, I'm hearing a very ungrateful attitude. That phone is mine right now. I'll hold it for a while. And we'll talk about giving it back at another time. I need to hear a grateful attitude. I walked in to the house when Roby was a junior in high school, was arguing with his mom about the car. He needed the car. It was mom's car. Roby never had a car.
Mm-hmm.
But he needed the car to go do something, and he was president of the junior class, and he had to get to a meeting. And when I heard the argument, and Rosemary, my wife, is this brilliant, gorgeous mush. And he owned her.
She needs to be hearing this.
She knows that. I've said it publicly in front of her. She's just a mush. She's brilliant. She was a 4.0 all through graduate school. She killed me through graduate school. She's beautiful. She's tender. She's sweet. But the kids owned her, which baffled me because she was a phenomenal school teacher. It wasn't mm-hmm. like that in the classroom.
Right.
But her kids had her. And watching her almost give up the car when she needed the car that evening for something to give it to him, when I said, Rob, where do you need to be? And he told me, I said, hop in the car, I'll drive you. And he looks at me and said, Mom needs a car. Mom's car. That is mom's car. Hop in the car, I'll drive you. I'll drop you off. You call me, I'll come back and get you.
Mm-hmm.
And helping him realize, this stuff isn't yours. I love mm-hmm. you, man, but this stuff isn't yours.
So you're saying you can force gratefulness then?
I think I want to teach them initially. And in many cases, when your babies are little, you teach them to say, I'm sorry and thank you.
Right.
Thank you. And say you're sorry.
The little one.
Yes. Say,
thank you.
Say you're sorry to your sister. Sorry. And that's okay. I think we're starting it. But I think we have to – one of the things of gratitude is to realize life doesn't revolve around you. And when mm-hmm. somebody then does something, you go, wow, thank you.
Mm.
Wow, thank you. And, you know, when do I get my phone back? When I hear a grateful attitude and I just heard the word my, it's not your phone.
Mm.
It's just not your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you want to go get a job and get a phone, and there's two things, you could go get a job and get all the phones you want. You're still my child. This is still my house.
Mm-hmm.
I love you very much. I know you don't understand this right now.
Mm-hmm.
But part of my job is to protect you. And you don't know what you – oh, Dad, you don't know. I do know. And so setting boundaries – and boundaries are very, very hard for us as parents. And the job of a parent is to set the boundaries and then slowly expand the boundaries and slowly expand the boundaries. And when they violate the boundaries, close them back in. Privacy is just one of those things where I've got to decide how much are you allowed
mm-hmm.
and how much technology privacy, which is all next week, are you allowed
mm-hmm.
so that we as parents get on the same page. And here's the hard part. We've already asked a question that alluded to it. My wife and I have to be on the same page, and we're very different people. You know, Rosemary, my wife, never did anything wrong. She probably, when she was 2 years old, had an hour's worth of family devotions in the morning with herself and a big bow in the back of her head. Yeah. And memorized the New Testament by 4. She's just one of those people that in life always did the right things. I'm the opposite of that. She's the pleaser. I'm the barbarian. And so I could go a little too far to the extreme, where mm-hmm. she would go a little too far to the trusting and the leniency. And we have to come together on how much privacy is acceptable
mm-hmm.
and what are the boundaries mm-hmm. and what are the restrictions and whose phone that is. Because she was going to cave in on the car.
Right.
She was just going to say to herself, okay, Roby, if you really need it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the point, Rosemary. It's not his car. It's your car. That's mm-hmm. not the point. It's teaching him a respect for whose it really is, so that next time he decides way out front, next Tuesday night, Mom, there's a student council meeting, 6 o'clock at so-and-so's house. Is there any way I could use the car?
Yeah.
And helping him learn that Mom is not somebody you put on the back burner. You need the car mom to deal with it. I mean, he would never say it like that because he's a great kid. But helping him, because I realized we had trained him. We had trained him to think he had total access to all these things. Mm-hmm. And I think as parents, we train you, that's your phone. We train you, that's your room. We train you that basically we just work for you, keeping you fed so you can have this private little kingdom of your own.
But then you have that child, though, that gets so angry when you start to restrict. Let's say you have that child. And I mean, I like this idea. It's sort of a flexible amount of trust. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to trust you. You break the trust. I come back. Mm-hmm. We start again.
It's a very yo-yo principle.
Right.
We ring it back up to your hand.
So it's not so black and white. I mean, it's flexible.
It's earned and then it's lost. Mm-hmm. And it's earned and it's lost. And then you got that child you're talking about has an older sibling who does everything perfect.
And gets everything.
Yeah. And so why didn't that happen with – well, you didn't do that with him. He earned it.
Mm-hmm.
He earned it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just different.
What happened? Because I've seen even cases where the child does something wrong. The parents take everything away. I mean, no TV, no nothing. It's total cut off for such and such amount of time. Then that amount of time passes. They get everything right back. And they go right back to their own habits.
Mm-hmm.
Or they get so angry. It's like the relationship is totally, they're restricted for a month. The entire month, they're just angry and bitter and slamming doors and just being all quiet and everything.
I wouldn't restrict them for a month. And I wouldn't take everything. That's where we have to sit down and think, okay, for this behavior, it's this loss. And it's a loss of a mobile phone for 3 days. I want to keep the
yo-yo.
Yo-yo. And I don't mean bad tension, but I just mean I want their attention. I don't want them, and I don't want them to do dead time. If all of a sudden 3 days, the attitude hasn't changed, and I need to say that, son, let me say something. For the next 3 days, I've got this phone. 3 days are minimum. A minimum. If there's no attitude change, if there's disrespect, if there's slamming, if there's outburst, we'll go to 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to have your phone. I want you to have my phone back in 3 days. And that's a nice mid-sentence correction to even actually mean to say it like I messed up there. I want you to have my phone back in 3 days. My phone that I'm paying the bill to loan to you to get to use. I want you to have that back. Or 2 days, whatever it is. But then if the attitude during these next 2 days is horrible, if you take your sibling's phone, if you do this, this, and this, then we're done. We added day. So you really have, you play a big part in the outcome of this and in the future of you. Choose wisely. This whole thing is for training. For training. It's not your property, and I'm training you for impulse control.
And what you're saying, though, is that it's not about the actual rules. You do this, this happens. I mean, it is, but it's, like you said in the past, pitting them against themselves, where them getting the privilege back is dependent on their reaction.
Absolutely. And I do want them against themselves, and I do want to be able to say, I know you're mad at me right now. Don't be mad at me. We talked beforehand. We said when you did such and such that this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We said.
What if you didn't talk beforehand?
Well, then you start now. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've been thinking about this. Your mom and I have been thinking about this. And this is an area of tension with us in a family, and I don't want it anymore. So here's what we're going to do. When you come in the house, we're going to park the mobile phones there on the charging station for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. If you don't, if we find you wandering around the house, you need to check a message, check a message. If we find you violating this, we're going to take the phone for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So choose not to lose the phone for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, whatever area of privacy, hey, you know that I don't want you locking the door to your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, unless you're changing clothes, I don't want the bedroom door closed. Well, Dad, Roby keeps coming in. I'll stop that. I will take care of that. But I don't want the bedroom door closed unless you're changing clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want it locked ever. I think you start with that. If the door is closed and you're not changing clothes and the door happens to be locked, then here's the consequence for the next 2 days. And I think it's thinking through it. It's not reacting. It's thinking through it. Sit down and say, we're going to establish some new things in this house because I want us to be able to get along. And you're going to see the barbarian's eyes roll. Oh, boy, now we got new rules. And that's okay. It's because I love you. And whether you understand it or not, I want you to understand it. But if you don't, you don't. I love you. And I am more into setting some protection for all of us. Do you notice, son, every time I go to bed at night, I turn on the front light and the back light. Do you know when I turn on the front light and the back light of our house, that costs money. FP&L charges us for that. I do that to protect the house. I want to do some things that will protect us as a family. So I am choosing to say, made a mistake. We're having a new set of plans. Here are the plans. When you violate these plans, here's the consequence. But it's not dead time. If in the next 2 days with the loss of your phone, you're acting like this, this, or this, you just need to know it's going to go to another day. I'm going to warn you. This is a warning. Your attitude's not what it needs to be. Choose wisely. If you don't, you're changing the plan and you've added another day. Get your phone back by choosing the right attitude.
We've been talking about privacy versus protection and all the little things that come along with that in your parenting journey here on Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. There are a lot of books and resources on parenting online at shfm.org. That's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. You can check them out there or check out this program again and sign up for the daily email blog where you can read that, even Facebook, Twitter it. And that's all on the website parentingtoday.org, parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for more on this conversation of privacy versus protection here on Parenting Today.